Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Republicans are destroying Democrats in the redistricting game right now, and so Democrats decided to do what they always do when they're losing. They brought out their activist judges. My home state of Utah right now is being taken over by an activist judge. Her name is Deanna Gibson. She just ruled that the redistricting map created legally, by the way, by legislators in Utah, elected by the people, was not good enough for her. And instead, what she did was she just picked one from an activist group that she liked better. That is our current district map as it stands today. That is our new congressional map, which is crazy. Of course, it gives a seat to Democrats, and they did not have one previously. Here is what the maps look like. On the left, what you see is the map that was proposed by legislators, again, people who were actually elected by the people. You can see in the middle where they all kind of intersect is really where all the people in Utah live. That's why the shape looks weird. A lot of people don't know this about Utah. It's a very small state population-wise. It's like 3.5 million people. However, in this top part next to the Great Salt Lake, there's about 1 to 2 million people living there. It is actually very dense. And then you have like a million people spread out among the whole rest of the state. But it's actually quite dense in that one area. It's just one big valley in between two mountains. And so essentially what you had these legislators do is they took a little bit of all of the city and brought it into the four different congressional districts that we have. You can call it gerrymandering if you want. I don't actually care, as I'll talk about a little bit later. What map one is a map submitted by a voting right, a Democrat voting rights group, and the judge chose this one. She just said, no, we're not gonna go with map C, we're gonna go with map one. And what it does very differently is it still splits up the conservative part of the city, which is in the southern part. You can see it split between D4 and D3, but it creates a new district for Salt Lake City, which is D1, right in the middle. And that's going to be a Democrat plus 25 district now. So here's how she did this and how Republicans can get their map back, because they can, hopefully. In 2018, we here in Utah voted on establishing an independent commission on redistricting. That's something that happened. And in 2020, our legislature passed a law that made that commission advisory instead of it being the whole thing. And kind of the justification for that is supposedly in the Utah Constitution, it says the legislature is ultimately supposed to be in charge of that. And so they worked to pass a new map and nothing happened. They passed that map. And by the way, that map did take away what was before a Democrat seat. So it made it, instead of three Republican, one Democrat, four Republican. That was back in 2021. We went through two full elections. Now, 4 years later, fast forward to August of this year, and this judge decided to rule that map unconstitutional. She didn't do it 4 years ago when Biden was in office. She waited until Trump was in office. Judge Gibson, that was in her name again, then said that the legislature needed to draft a new one. So yesterday, she took a look at that new one that I showed you. She rejected that map. And instead of going back to them, telling them what was wrong and what they needed to do different, she instead just said that she could choose her own map now, which happened to be a map, again, submitted by a Democrat voting rights group, which is crazy. It's just crazy that one judge appointed by our governor, I think 8 years ago, is Governor Herbert, which I've met, nice guy, but a very moderate Republican, and he put this judge in, and she just gets to choose now what our districting is with no say from the Utah people. And here's the thing with all of this, guys. She cites the Utah Constitution. This is the hypocrisy of all of it. She cites the Utah Constitution, which says that the legislative power in the state is to be shared between the legislature and the people, which is fine. I actually like that. But then she turns around and chooses her own map. So she didn't give anything back to the people. She just took all of the power, acted as a dictator. Now, fortunately for Utah, the legislature can try to fight this. They can try to create another map. But what we are running into is a national problem. It's the same problem we've had the whole Trump presidency, which is that there are these judges around the country trying to be the legislators, and they are not. That is not their branch of government. If the Utah legislature passes a new map that does not give Democrats a seat, either her or another judge is just going to strike it down again. And they're going to, again, take what the she uses the justification that the legislature is supposed to be shared between the legislator and the people, and then she takes it on. It never says that the judiciary in Utah is supposed to take on a legislative process. It never says that they are supposed to take on some sort of districting process. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries perfectly showed the Democrat hypocrisy on this in a statement that he put out about Utah specifically. He said, an enlightened Utah judge made clear last night that the people of Utah should decide who represents them in Congress. The court correctly enacted a fair map that reflects the geographical composition of Salt Lake County instead of the current map that deliberately cracks communities of interest to artificially hand Republicans complete control of the congressional delegation. Donald Trump and his corrupt sycophants are working overtime to gerrymander congressional maps across the country in a desperate attempt to rig the midterm elections. Democrats are fighting back, and we are winning. He then goes on to talk about Prop 50 in California, which wiped out their independent commission in order to gerrymander California. And here's the problem with that. He openly said that that's a good thing, that Gavin Newsom was gerrymandering in California. So which is it, dude? Like, choose one. Be consistent. Should states gerrymander or go through commissions? And I know each state does it differently. That's one of the big differences between Republicans and Democrats on this is I'm not saying you can't gerrymander. What I'm saying is you should actually go through what your state constitution allows you to do. And what California did is they had to change all the rules. And in Utah right now, the judge is changing all the rules. In Republican states like Missouri, like Ohio, like Texas, they didn't change any of their laws. They just did exactly what their constitution required of them. Because again, me, myself, Republicans have been very clear on this. Gerrymandering is baked into our politics. Everyone is going to call what they don't like gerrymandering. That's just what it is. Therefore, you shouldn't let your enemies play by a different set of rules. What Hakeem Jeffries is saying right now is it's good when we gerrymander, it's bad when they do it. What I'm saying is I don't care. I don't care if it's gerrymandering or not. I don't care what you're saying. I've got no problem with my legislators here in Utah admitting that they are gerrymandering. I just want them to do it through their state constitution. Because, again, that's what Nevada and California are doing right next door to us. They are gerrymandering their whole state. So I think Utah, within their constitution, within our constitution, should be able to fight back. Before we get back to the news, guys, I wanted to invite you to subscribe to my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your email where I'm able to talk to you guys about things I wasn't able to get to on the show, or because Big Tech would have censored me if I had talked about it here, and so I'm able to talk about it there. It's completely free to you. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. For as much as Christianity is making a comeback right now, we have a scary story today, guys. Pastor Rich Tidwell from Canton, Missouri, is saying that polygamy is now the Christian way. Yikes. I'm not joking. This is according to Protestia, I think is how you say it. This is a Protestant journalism page. They write, and you can see a picture of Rich right here. They say, Rich Tidwell is a pastor of Ormond Church, a small non-denominational gathering in Canton, Missouri, that was founded more than a decade ago. At first glance, everything looks pretty normal, but a quick perusal of his Instagram account instantly raises eyebrows with this announcement from this past June, where Tidwell dropped this blockbuster. You could see a whole picture of his family. By the way, can I just bring up, what's up with the bonnets? Why is polygamist equal bonnets? Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, are they're not fundamentalist Mormons or Quakers or Amish. Not that those people are necessarily all polygamists, but like, isn't he just a non-denominational Christian? Why do all the girls wear these weird bonnets? I don't understand. Maybe someone in the comments can tell me, because it's super weird. It's like, it seems like if you are trying to show everyone you're a polygamist, that's what you would put your women in. And maybe that's what he's trying to do, but it just seems weird to me. They continue. They say, so here's the big announcement. My name is Rich Tidwell. I have two beautiful wives. My second wife is expecting my eighth child. We are thrilled for what the Lord has done for our family. The announcement of having acquired a new wife, I like the way they say it, frankly, acquired a new wife, that's what it is, was followed up with an article on his website on biblical polygamy, where he writes, in 2019, I discovered the surprising fact that God not only never prohibited polygamy throughout the entire Bible, he divinely ordained it in several cases, including David, Jacob, Joash, among others. In contrast with homosexuality, which is outrightly prohibited, God lawfully, and then he ironically looks at, he cites Leviticus, which is the Mosaic law. We'll talk about that in a second. But he says God lawfully regulated the practice of plural marriage, and Protestia ends this by saying, mark and avoid this church for sure. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. So for once, again, we have non-denominational churches perverting the word of God, which is scary. And this has real consequences. It really isn't about women. I think a lot of people make this about women. These women are big girls. They can make their own decision about doing this or not. They seem to be of sound mind. They look like they're not being kept in a basement, at least as far as I can tell. Hopefully they're okay. If they are, that's their decision. But it is bad for Christianity, really bad, because Christianity right now is the only thing that successfully combats the way of the world. One of those things being Islam right now, which is trying to really infiltrate our country, I believe. And polygamy, as it stands, is not sanctioned by God, but it is something widely practiced in Islam. And I think blending any Islamic practice with Christianity is a massive mistake. It's huge. We don't want Christianity to be more like Islam, obviously. Here is a video of one of Rich's sermons where he talks about his whole justification for all of this.
The Bible never demands monogamy. God never demands it. The Bible never prohibits polygyny. And to the shock of many, God compares David's lawful marriages, plural, with his unlawful union with Bathsheba in order to indicate that he had done the wrong thing. Moreover, in 2 Samuel 12:8, 7 and 8, God explicitly states, I gave your master's wives to you. You took just a moment, you would study this out and see that not only does God not sin, but by him giving David wives, it shows you that that is not sin, because God doesn't sin. And you go, well, it's different now. The scriptures say, I, the Lord, do not change. Marriage law doesn't change. God's law regarding marriage doesn't change.
So there's no question in my mind that God can command anything he wants. It is clear that before the law of Moses, the patriarchs were commanded to practice polygamy. There is a precedent for it in the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. I understand that, and I understand his argument. But the law of Moses prohibits it very directly, which, again, I find ironic because he points out that homosexuality is banned in the Mosaic law, but then glosses over the fact that polygamy also is banned. What it really comes down to is this. Do we believe God told Rich Tidwell to practice polygamy? And I just don't see any evidence of that. I'm sorry. I believe everyone can speak to God. I believe they can pray to God. I see no evidence that he just told Rich to do marriage completely differently. For my viewers, you know me well. You know I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons. About 135 years ago, members of my church practiced polygamy. They stopped 135 years ago. So I just had to make this clear. This man is not a Mormon. And the reason why I say that is because I'm seeing a lot of people on the internet, this story has gotten very big, talking about how this is some sort of a Mormon pastor, which a pastor is not even a word that we use in the church, by the way. He is not. He is a non-denominational pastor. In my church, you get excommunicated on the spot for practicing polygamy. The Edmunds Tucker Act was passed, I think, in the 1890s, banned polygamy in the U.S. Mormons have not practiced it since that time. Anyone who has been excommunicated immediately. There are some fundamentalist groups that still do it. They're not affiliated with my church at all. My worry here with non-denominational churches is that they are not tied to a larger theology. I get worried. We see a lot of stories like this, but with other kind of diverse doctrines, and it all stems around these non-denominational churches. I don't want to come too harshly on some of you. I know you go to good non-denominational churches. That's not what I'm saying. But when you're not tied to a larger theology, you can go off in these weird beliefs and practices a lot easier. And I think that's what's happened with Rich Tidwell. I think it's incumbent on all Christians to reject this very vocally so we don't lose the momentum that we've gained in recent years with more and more converts, more people in churches, and the normalization of Christianity in American politics. The progressive left is a cult, guys. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out right now. No one's really written a book like this. I talk about some really, really crazy stories, some nuts things. I think you'll enjoy learning about. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.